네 성말아야 공도 들렸어요. 아니 다 들이야 믹사하거든. 가시에 독수에 사왔던데 배교였던데도 아니 계란도 독수 배월 시라가부 중송 아니 성말아 잼뜨시 들렸어요.
So to him who in his compassionate wisdom taught the sacred Dharma for the shunning of all views, to him, to Gautama, I bow down. So good evening to everyone. There's in particular some new people here tonight, so I would like to give you a warm welcome and a good evening and welcome to everyone.
아니 당에 당부 검제대 미터바 고르시 검제나 삼성아 다야 미터바 고르 검제가잖아요. 아 대신에 토피하고 이제 지우자비다 조용과 야심 미망부시나 삼스러와 다 대시하나 삼스러와 대 밑에가 걸어지는 검자에 다 알아서 뜸바가 걸어지는 검자들어
뜸바 No. So tonight I was thinking to meditate on impermanence, but as maybe suddenly changing to something different than what we have been doing might be unpleasant to people, tonight we're actually going to do a little bit of meditation on the teacher, on Buddha Shakyamuni.
Okay. 나 시가 지나 야구면으로 니 뭐고 체제에 갈라 야구면
Scaring people and making you not sleep isn't good. So we're not going to do impermanence today.
다 대링 믹스다 검다 카템다 말에 아랑수 뜸박이 아 계란종에 따지근에 따지기 류대디 토라야 밀류대시 토바레 밀류대가 나로네 따지 뜸박이 숭 땅자네 냠레 퇴섬 검숨 지혜라버지 지게 시라 빼끔보레 디 나로네 아니 지 뜸박이 대과 침비 나당 제봐야 돌아 계란소야 시 퇴성 검숨 제대 계란소 땅 제배 다 민용시 지마도 안에 돌 미나로네 배 시복금 보래로 인데 임배인데 다래기 류대디 돌아 안에 뜸바 추랑자 뜸바게 안에 직티버 치중 나당 제배가 돌아야 퇴성 검숨 탈라 템부 치중 어디 깨바상 보이 삼삼세 인데 가와 검신배 안에 뜸바
So for our meditation, thinking about in relation to the teacher, the Buddha, first of all, we have obtained this precious human life, and that is something that is extremely rare to have. And not only that, but we have been able to meet with the teachings of the Buddha, and not just the teachings of the Buddha, but all of the kinds of teachings of the Buddha, from the kind of Pali tradition, the Sanskrit tradition, the Mahayana, as well as the Tantric tradition. So among human beings, those who have obtained a precious human rebirth, it's extremely rare and fortunate to have this kind of a life. And thinking about that, this is something that we only occasionally, very rarely come across, and it's something incredibly precious to have met with these precious teachings, we should rejoice. We should feel a sense of joy at that. And here, imagining then that you are really in the presence of the Buddha, we'll do a little meditation while reflecting on this kind of extremely fortunate situation that we have. We should imagine that the Buddha, the in actuality, is before us. So here we will meditate for a few minutes, again imagining that the Buddha himself is before you, that you are in the presence of the Buddha, reflecting on this joy at having been able to meet with these teachings, being able to listen to them, think about them, and practice them. One should make a kind of supplication to the Buddha, looking at the sort of qualities that the Buddha has of love and compassion, realization of emptiness and dependent origination and so forth, make a sort of a request or a prayer. May I come to be like you. May I come to be able to be a being such as this Buddha. And so within that state of reflecting on the Buddha with reverence, as if you are in the presence of the Buddha, making these kinds of fervent requests, may I be able to actualize such qualities. So we'll begin.
than you. Oh, da, gom di ti si. Da, ngaran su tumba ki tu, sta chi yun de te suwa tab din de che re. Ni tumba kongrang, ni kendes chungri sa si na ta ngaran su tu du rup si na rwa. Tumba kongrang kendes chungri sa na. Nga, da tangbo tumba chungsa di, di lumbi ne la chung rwa. Lumbi ne la chung re. Da lumbi ne la chung ni chungsa ki, Rikyu tabashena, tedu ki kyaa ki ta chi ki kyaabu rikyu che, shakye rik, o tinte himpare. Ima ma se korang ki baba tiyang kyaabu che, ta chi ki mizang gyuti chebayana gyuchubu himpa, wangdang chebayana kyaabu himpa, o tinte chi himpare, dumba korang rwa.
So here, reflecting, recalling the qualities of the Buddha and making these kinds of requests, maybe it would be helpful to first think about how the Buddha became the Buddha or an enlightened being. So Buddha Shakyamuni was born in a place called Lumbini, and he was born into a royal lineage, an Indian royal lineage of the Shakyas. And so his family was extremely rich. They were very powerful and wealthy. That's what he was born into.
Oh, teaching that Quran, Tine, Baba Kabuche, Dijula, Tachi Talonga, Ochung and Negapse, and Baba Kitabache Nege, Kabuche Gores, and Quran Gabonara, Gabonare, Gabonam, Samase, and Chansa Gab, and Buyang Puchichung, O Tindy Sechungra. Imbayena, Tachi. Gabu chevere and Gabu wang jayore, and the yachik beju gulong jure, and the tinde yoa yimbayena tantung korange tachik digi tesu yoa latene digi mewache, tesu yoa latene digi mewache, tadung be the dungag nesimbach to sibrovata be dungag nesimbach si.
So his father was the king as he was born into this royal lineage. And when he got to a certain age, his father bestowed upon him the kingship, right? So he was then married and he even gave birth to a child. And so he had all of this authority of being king, all of the kinds of wealth and possessions of being a king. But even having those, he still viewed this. He wasn't really entirely happy. He still saw this as a situation or a place of suffering.
What the dine, Koranda, Chick, Miri, Drosim, Chick, Chickanesi, Tunga, Gashi, was Sisene, and that delay, Coronella, Tarva, Chego, do some nature, Chega, pay, and it Tambo, Hindugi, Lamatin, the cha, and the Konzugi, Hindugi. That's a chutin de mason, subanashin, gomjab, and then Hindu chun and shabanashin, gomganeza, some long in bayanayang, tetun coronel, trome tupa. Oh, see, dine, coronel, troye, tachi, tapshi yakshu carriona, some new corang, tachi, tapshi, zanege, tamatelaya, a corangla, ni ni brota, so de, dombany corotang, a tap, changeusimbe, changeusimcor. That thing sang Yaram Jesuana, Tawa Tinjung Dang, Jeba Tsawa Meba, Segado, what a tiny ni chen, what a tiny kumdi cheva, tene, and a corva letro, at some massebe, and a Sanje Kobang, the Nyamu Badan Shizeba, Pacha Danjeba Pane, and a Sanje Kobang, Shine, what in this tovashore?
So seeing this sort of extreme suffering, not just of humans, but of all sentient beings who take birth within what we call samsara, he was determined to find a way out of that. And so he went to the forest. He kind of left behind the trappings of kingly life and met with various Hindu teachers and practiced Hindu teachings, meditating on them and so forth. forth. But even through those practices, he saw that he wasn't able to attain freedom from this cycle of suffering. And so really, he began his own path, or he found his own path primarily with two things, the view of emptiness and bodhicitta, or this mind of awakening, as His Holiness the Dalai Lama likes to describe these two, the side of the view of dependent origination and conduct of non-harm. So through those practices, not only did he attain liberation from samsara, but became a fully enlightened Buddha, free of all obscurations and the imprints thereof. And so based upon seeing how all of these things that within samsara we might see as being excellent, we might see as being the source of happiness, he saw them as not really giving happiness, as not able to be satiating to us. And so looking for what is real happiness, the highest ultimate happiness comes through, he saw, this practice of the view of emptiness, dependent origination, and taking to its culmination the conduct of non-harm, love and compassion. And so this too is what we should try to practice, habituate ourselves to, the kind of view of emptiness and the conduct of non-harm. And by habituating or meditating on these, we are able to benefit as well.
What did you get? Yamnet of Chen, you get, and Yamnit Chevane, so soon again, and a calabore, digitar to what a lamb santa, Yungi Mare, then Yimbayana Kali, Kali, digitar to what day, and the Yungi Yungi Yungre, Yimbayan doing around so lamb sum, Majung again, Chen again, and eh, Chipa, Chishu, Jayata, Okaya, Tati, Tola, Kumdichena, Komindu, Guba Mindu, Samson Wota, Tinte, Manzo Chi.
So by practicing these, we can benefit, but it's not as though this kind of practice leads instantly to that kind of ultimate happiness. And so we need to, from the beginning, take a kind of long-term view, recognizing that although habituating our mind to these will eventually lead to that state of ultimate happiness, if that doesn't immediately come about, we shouldn't sort of put these aside or think, oh, there's no purpose or practical reason to do this, but rather we should from the beginning recognize that this is a long-term project of continually habituating our mind. So if we have to travel like a long distance, a mile or some number of miles, we get there by taking the first step, right? That doesn't get us there immediately, but it is through that continued walking or going that we are able to eventually arrive there. So although our ultimate final goal is that kind of ultimate happiness, we should recognize that this is a project that will take time to arrive at. We have to expect that.
Oh yeah, that is dang tembe cortis and aran so that cola some taste dance that in the macozo and that tension debra chung then don't want you to shit.
So that's a little bit of a reflection upon the teacher, Shakyamuni. And then we will pick up now here in these verses that we are going through. So if you have the text with you or this list of verses, you can look at that. Otherwise, just listening is fine as well. So here, the verse that we are beginning with today is the kind of, I think it's the second of the verses by Nagarjuna. And so it says, whatever is dependently arisen, that has been explained as empty. So here, putting forth the reason of being dependently arisen, that establishes that whatever phenomena it is, it's not established objectively or from its own side. And so again, the one who composed this is Nagarjuna.
Ni dine karsungu dosena tene tenen dagbate tini umelamenu so da digi karsungu dosena tenjuye ge lulaya pagi takshu chik dakshila pa ta ni ani shegure chuken den da di gordi juma shegen da di kale khabo yorwa ni shegre te tenda karsungu rosena ngaramzu ta
So then the second half of this verse, variously translated, but it can be independence upon something else, it is imputed as existent or designated as existent. This is the middle way indeed. Now here, according to the kind of highest philosophical tradition of the Prasangikas, there's much more that could be said about that, but it's quite difficult. That will come later. But here, the idea is that whatever a phenomena it is designated independence upon a basis of designation. That is how it exists, as something that is imputed or designated. So, for example, the person or the I or the person, the self, independence upon these five aggregates, its basis of designation is something that is designated, imputed. So the person is something which is imputed or designated on the basis of these five aggregates.
What a tiny ume lam in do same yinu song and do, carsena ume lam segatella, a kala orsana, una neva, lakota, gina neva, sejura, tani la malunga che, and una neva, seota, tani de carsena, tande digi tombani corsion to tani de, yeta tang, metani, ta tani buddi, yeta la, yeta se, meta sebe, ne. Gina nebege, lamtela, umelam, sigore, ta, yuta, carasigorsana, Marzonta, Kansa, sigeti, pumbungala, tani, lagashani, ni, Maranzu, Nenzula, Kansa, sigeti, pumbungala, matubala, tu, sinenzu, chidua, Kansa, sigeti, pumbungala, matuba, corengune, Nenzu, chiodo, water, di, Nenzu, di, ni, yuta.
So here's the last line where it says, this is the middle way indeed, or this is the middle way. This is the middle, is sort of like going down the center, down the middle, right? Which means that it is between the sort of extremes. In the context of explaining emptiness, we have these two extremes, like the extreme of existence and the extreme of non-existence. And a proper understanding of emptiness or dependent origination then dispels or gets gets rid of, eliminates those two extremes. So, for example, the person appears to us as though it existed like autonomously, independently, not contingent upon anything else. And so that way in which it appears to exist from its own side, wherein it is in actuality something that is merely designated on the basis of those aggregates, that's the extreme of existence, that way in which it appears to exist from its own side, independent of anything else. So on the one hand, we have that extreme of existence, and on the other hand, there's the extreme of non-existence. So when we say that phenomena are not inherently existent or not truly existent, some might think that that means they are like utterly non-existent. Actually, for the philosophical schools of the autonomists and below, if phenomena are not inherently existent, then they become non-existent. So here it is a proper understanding of emptiness that eliminates that kind of extreme of non-existence. It ceases or sort of negates that kind of extreme of phenomena being utterly non-existent. So here, these two extremes then, as I've just described, the extreme of existence, of being like existent from its own side, not dependent upon anything else, or the extreme of non-existence has been being, if it's not inherently existent, being utterly non-existent, the middle way that dispels or gets rid of those two extremes is this understanding of dependent designation. So here, in understanding that the person, for example, is merely dependently designated, contingently designated on these aggregates, that eliminates it as being truly existent from its own side, objectively existent. And so too, when we assert that, for example, the person which is they're not truly existent or inherently existent, but that doesn't mean that they are utterly non-existent because they are phenomenally or conventionally existent, even though not inherently or truly existent, they do exist in a conventional kind of a way, and so this dispels the extreme of utter non-existence.
Oda digging a let sick tea robes at Tusha, Oma ten yam to Shabana, Lel Havajdua, the Oma did sick dela, conjun dinjum, mayim be, that then take a chum, mayin gage, chut inge, then take a chum, mayin gage, chiguji, yo marit, said the conjun dinjum, mayimba, chogayo, mayim, mayimba, sitore, Lel Havura.
So then this will be easier to understand if we read this together with the verse that comes below. It's hard to read just one line in the English because of the way that it goes. But it says, because there's nothing that is not dependently arisen, there's nothing that is not empty. There is not any sort of phenomena that is not dependently originated or dependently established. Here, looking at the second half of this, again, because there's nothing, there's no phenomena that is not dependently arisen or dependently established, then there is nothing that is not empty. So again, because of the reason of dependent origination, although phenomena are not inherently existent or truly existent, there's nothing that is truly existent or there's no phenomena that is not empty. So here then
in terms of we had been talking earlier about the various sort of principles of reasoning and here looking at the kind of principle of dependency or here this is sometimes called like of logical reasoning so it is due to the fact again we can think about that it is independent upon a cause that we can speak of a result there is that kind of contingency or dependency and so using that kind of reasoning, using that sort of principle or logical reasoning, we can then establish that there is nothing that is sort of independently existent. So here this can be used to establish both the sort of selflessness of a phenomenon and the selflessness of the person. And here we have the kind of reasoning that again establishes that there's no sort of inherent existence of phenomena. And then there is that which we apply to the person. So the person is something that is merely designated on the five aggregates. It's not something that exists sort of inherently in and of itself, which is the selflessness of the person.
Establish again the selflessness of a phenomena as well as the selflessness of the person, but phenomena other than the person as well. There is the kind of reasoning analyzing the cause, which is referred to as the diamond slivers. We can call that, and then we can look at the analyzing the results themselves. And so this is the sort of
a refutation of a production of the existent and non-existent. And then there is the kind of analysis of causes and results. So that's the refutation of production via the four alternatives. There's the analysis of the entity of the thing, which again, we went through the sort of freedom of being one and many. And then there is the sort of looking at dependent origination itself, which is often referred to as the kind of king of reasons.
And so
so those five reasons are generally applied to analyzing phenomena other than the person. And then there are sort of two, the five-fold reasoning and the seven-fold reasoning that are often applied to the person in order to establish the selflessness of the person. Going kind of in order, this will then, in relation to this verse, we will look at the sort of reasoning of dependency or dependent origination as it applies to this particular verse. So here, just sort of explaining the words of the verse itself, it might be quite difficult to understand. So I'm going to try to explain it in kind of plain language where we are able to say, oh, okay, this is what this means. This is the sort of implications of this. So if you have this sort of thought of like, oh, what is he talking about? What is this? You should definitely know that you'll eventually be able to come to an understanding of this.
And then number shakjua jitin des chigla ten chig number shan tin ro chigla ten tishar dilaten tishar se number shakjua jitin des er tene mingdal tebe ten ji ming sena jarwa ta jala ming sena jare kha ming tebe yana dal sena tokpal tebe ja tola tembe tokpar wa wo disi ore.
So here, when it comes to the reason of dependent origination, we have earlier talked about the kind of dependency as in it is in dependence upon a cause that a particular result comes about. So that's one level of a dependent origination. And then we can think about dependent origination or establishment in relation to the whole being dependent upon its parts. There is that kind of a level of dependent origination. And so too, there is what we could refer to maybe as contingency, in that in order to say posit east, there has to be a west, right? Or to posit long, there needs to be a short. So it's only in relation that we can posit the existence of certain things. And so too, there's the level of dependency of name, which usually is referring to the sound that we make to the names that we give things, as in the sounds, as well as the terms, we could say, which refers to the kind of conceptual thought that relates to those. So maybe to look at the sort of parts and whole dependency, we can give an example, and maybe these flowers are a good example to use.
Da di pelashane ta ngaranzo tenda sochaerwa ani keranzo ge tangbo ange toksola medosha dine keranzo hopta tarwa.
So here, if I have like the flower down here, and then you sort of suddenly look at it.
Right, that's true. Right,
So when you see it, how do you see it?
Medo sigeji ani chadan chashe chashe la khaya ma tebege medo sigeji tok depene jiwa tonson.
So do you see it as something like that's not dependent upon its various parts, but that there's like one sort of thing, one solid kind of thing? So here, in order to think about the way that it is dependent upon its parts, again, we see it as being like this one thing, right? This is a flower. But when we begin to think about it, where am I holding on to it? Are you holding, am I holding the flower or where am I holding? So we could say on some level that yes, I'm holding on to the flower, that my hand is touching the flower. That's what some people might say. But when we think about it, there is, right, the stem of that flower, right? And that's a part of the flower. And then we can look at the various sort of leaves that are there. That's also part of the flower, we could say. There's the kind of like the skin of it, the outside of it. But even inside, there are various parts of that as well. And then we could look at like the petals, right? That's each of those petals, each single one of those is a part of the flower. So all of those are, again, like parts of the flower when you go through each of those individually. And so then we could ask, well, where is the flower, right? When you pull it up and you look at it, like immediately you have this thought of, oh, that's a flower, right? But where is the flower within all of those various parts? Well, the flower is something that is designated on those parts, right?
What do you do? That method, ani sama chashela tu stude dwa meto sama chashela tu stude re ta meto segeti pa tu chashena na ga tede tere ta chashere re ne meto tinde sa ga drona da meto ni gdo mindo.
So here, the flower is something that is designated on all of those parts, right? We can say, oh yeah, there's a flower. But when we begin to then look through each one of those parts, can we point to or can we find the flower? So here, the flower, we can say, is dependent upon its various parts. It's contingent upon all of those parts, right? We can call this thing a flower, but when we begin to look through, to like search through each of those parts, looking at each one of them individually, can we find anything that is the flower? Can we actually find something that we can point to and say, this is the flower? Well, we don't find anything, right? But there is something that is established in dependence upon those parts that we call a flower.
Wo yin bei de ta me do cha she de wo de me do cha she de ne ne za ne mani ba ji duwa mani be cha de ta mani be cha de ga sa na 메도 차셔라 떼베 균세기 메도 차셔레 네 자네 많이 받대 메도 그때 동일이 서토스 좋아라다.
So here, when we engage in that kind of analysis, there's an unfindability of that flower, right? When we search within the parts for the whole that is so established on those parts, we can't actually find it. And that is the sort of, on one level, the emptiness of the flower, right? And so it is due to the reason that we can put forth that the whole is contingent or dependent upon the parts, that it is empty of existence. Existing in the way that it appears.
최상 강라야 대진 땡제 임베 균세기 근데 동반이도 셰고레 텐데 송송아 띵베도 다 땡제디 차셰라 되베 땡제 다 메토 시게디 차셰라 되베 땡제디 균세도 체네 아니 메토 차셰레네 자네 많이 버디 디 동발에 센당한도 셰송아 디 셰토고도 아디.
So we can explain this again as being, as we were looking at in this verse, that because phenomena are dependently originated, they are therefore said to be empty, right? So for the reason that the whole is again designated in dependence upon the parts or established in dependence upon the parts, due to that reason, we can establish or we can say that it is empty.
What a dig it down around the dig coat de bochin that you pepper of Sherwa, that Tundala, Maransota, Nemoway, Nembolaya, Gongoway, Tombany to Congo Gorwa, what a diggy Sherwa.
So we use this as an example that we then kind of apply again to ourselves and other phenomena in such a way as it becomes an antidote, right? So emptiness in this way is an antidote to our grasping when it is applied like this. So here, as far as using emptiness as an antidote to our various afflictions, we can think about this kind of using this mode of reasoning, for example, to be an antidote to like our attachment, our desire. So, for example, when we are experiencing difficulty due to our desire or our attachment, like say whether it is an object that we find pleasant or maybe a person, another being that we find to be particularly pleasant, when we think of that other person, it can be that they appear as if they sort of exist as a whole, independent of those parts, not dependent upon the various parts that comprise that being.
What in Jake Tachi Luning Chibu? She would do some bad package to Suyova Travis Penderon, do somebody, Tanzo D. Luning Chibu D. Peggy Sukumne, Yoda, your Marasana, Tanzo Nelzo, Dinjit, Nangare, Sukumne, your Mare, Tanzo, Sukumne, Meva Yena, Tatarang, do some she was Zindebe Gunzeg, Manzola Kanashi, Chigurati.
So, for example, like if we find someone's body to be particularly attractive, it's like they have a really nice body. It seems sort of like this whole existing independent of its parts. It seems to, it appears to us to exist like in and of itself, as though it's like this person's attractive body. But when we actually begin to search through the various parts, there's like nothing that we can find that appear that exists as it appears
to us. That 차셔 되네 요아임비에 되 다 차셔래네 루이 동화데 안주 자오래 다 티니 니메 다래
So here, if it were the case, again, that this, like if we feel attraction to a body, the body is a thing that possesses parts, right? And if we were to search within each of those individual parts, we wouldn't find this sort of thing existing in the way that it appears to us. So this kind of meditation is explained by Shantideva when he talks about, like, so when we have some kind of a body, some person's body that we find particularly attractive, very nice to look at, we should begin asking ourselves by searching through the various parts. Like, well, is it their leg, for example, that we find very attractive?
So
we begin again by going through the various parts. And sorry, I said leg, but I should say foot here. And the kind of way in which one examines is like, well, this body that I find so attractive, like where is it within that that is the thing I find so attractive? Like, is it the foot or is it maybe the calf of the body? Is that where it is this attractive body? So
then again, like looking through the various sort of parts of the body, we think, well, maybe it's the sort of thigh of this person that is the part that I find attractive, that is the thing that is so attractive. Or is it the back? Is it the back part of the body that is so attractive to me? Or is it the stomach area? Is it like their belly that I find very attractive? So
we need to actually, like, as we are asking ourselves this, really think about it. Think through each individual one of these things that we are asking. So maybe it's not the sort of front part of the body or the back, but like the kind of upper back. Is that where it is? Or is it then what we find attractive? Is it the sort of chest? Is it that sort of upper part of the torso, the chest there that I find to be attractive? Or is it the sort of upper arm, the biceps maybe that I find particularly attractive? Or is it the kind of ribs that I find attractive? Again, going through each part of the body here. Or is it the hand? Actually, and this is confusing in Tibetan because it's from here to the elbow, as you would say in English, that we give the name hand. Is it that part that I find attractive? Or is it the armpits that I find to be particularly attractive?
네 인지부 데이터 착바 드려야지 디르와 다 착바스나 디르와 데도 니라 착발라고 그러다 착바 착바 드려야지
or is it the kind of shoulders the upper part of the shoulders the neck that I find attractive
다디네 다 착바 드려야지면도 워낙 고드려야지 고드려야지 제레다
Okay, so maybe it's the sort of shoulders, or if it's not those, maybe is it the head that we find attractive? Or is it the throat, the kind of front of the neck, the throat that we find attractive? So when we ask about the head, all of the eyes and nose and mouth and so forth, they're all sort of within that, right? So if we've gone through all of these more external parts of the body and maybe we haven't found that thing that is so attractive, well then is it the sort of innards of the person that is attractive to us? What's inside of their torso, for example? So here, going through this exercise, again, really considering each of the various parts of the body, and here he sort of stops, I mean, you can look at Shantideva to see, but with the kind of innards of the body, and when we look in this way, is it the case that we can find something like that sort of attractive person as they appeared to us sort of suddenly when we first viewed them, or can we not find that? So here we can continue. I mean, maybe you don't find anything within those various parts that you say, oh yeah, that is the thing that is most attractive. That is the reason why I feel so attracted to this person. But maybe you do. Maybe there's something that you say, oh, like for example, it's the hand, this lower part of the arm. And I'm not trying to say that mine is particularly attractive. But is it the case that if it is the case that that is what you point to and say, well, that is the thing that is attractive? So if it is the case that like you find the sort of hand or the lower part of the arm to be the thing that is attractive, well, that itself has many different parts. So then you begin to look within that. Well, what is the thing that is so attractive about that? Is it sort of this upper part or the middle part or here at the hand, the various fingers? You start to go through all of those parts looking for the thing that is so attractive or pretty.
That's the
So if there is some sort of part that you'd land on as being the thing that is really particularly attractive, like, you know what, it's the finger. It's this very finger that I find very attractive. Well, once again, it's not as though that whole finger is just a whole without parts. That, too, is composed of itself of many various parts. There are many sort of substances that are aggregated. So is it the top? Is it below? Is it within? And so forth. You can begin to search like that. As we continue with this part, like if you've landed on again, like, oh, the finger is particularly attractive, well, then trying to find that finger that is attractive within the various parts, again, there's so many like atoms, particles that make up that finger that aggregate to come together. And so eventually you'll get to this point where there's nothing that you can point to as being the thing that is so attractive. Instead, we come to understand that this idea of, oh, that's so attractive is something merely designated, a name that we have given to something. So going through this kind of process of investigation and analysis, again, we think, oh, there's this thing that I find so attractive, I find so beautiful, but looking through all of the various parts, we're not able to find that thing, right? We come to understand that this thing that we felt so much sort of desire for or attachment to is actually merely designated. There isn't anything to be found that we can point to, although it appears in this way as though we should be able to point to something as like, well, that's what's really attractive to me. When you go through all of the parts, there's nothing that can be found that is that thing. So if it is the case that our way of looking at something is giving us a lot of difficulty, right? We feel a strong amount of attachment or desire for something. Doing this kind of analysis can help us to alleviate that, right? Going through all of the various parts and saying, well, there's nothing that I can find that is so attractive, the object of my desire as it appeared to me. But if this is not what we are struggling with particularly, then there's no need necessarily to engage in this kind of analysis, but rather it is intended as a way of being an antidote to that strong kind of grasping or attachment. So whether it is something that we view as being sort of pleasant or attractive, or on the other hand, we could do that kind of analysis with something that is unpleasant, we can establish for ourselves, looking within those various parts, that due to the sort of whole being dependent upon the parts, that there isn't this thing that we that was attractive or pleasant in the way that we had thought it existed, right? So it is empty of that. Due to the reason of being dependent upon these various parts.
What a digi comsanti tantang and zuchawa samlatare, that in my imbeg, Niamomba, Kendisosola Ganga, Kikitigiana, Kondu Ganga Tesona, Kondu Jisega, you do Tungurua, that you do Momo say at the Kagres Zaire, Tadwa Jigiana, Tadwa Chisaga, you, Pegayan, Pejurin Bayena, Mingina, Tamina, Takantratinigi, Tadwa Sasaga, you. What are the Najaki Yoyana, call it the Nashibo, Yoto Chege, and also Najaki say you. What are Tux to Ostan Tux Zanegi, Nimbocom Tux to Ore?
So I've just explained this in terms of when we have an object that we feel a great deal of attachment to, how it's not findable when we go through this kind of analysis, but we can apply this to whatever of our afflictions is the strongest. So if it is like, for example, our anger, we feel anger at a particular object, we can investigate it in this way or at a person. Or if there is someone that we are really jealous of, whether it is for their kind of qualities or the reputation that they have or the learning that they have, we can use that same kind of investigation. Or whether it is pride, we feel pride in relation to something, we can do this kind of investigation and analysis based upon whatever of our afflictions is the strongest, is giving us most difficulty.
Midi kandrejisim ta chö kandre jina chashel tön shagwa yin bayin du ko yakbu droye tan dukja droye te chashe ge chane ngan du droye du chashe de lang ngan du sojong che go de shigo ke chen bu zi go ro da.
So understanding that whatever a phenomenon it is, the whole, the part possessor is dependent upon its various parts. Again, we can understand this as a kind of reason establishing emptiness, but we also can understand that because of the fact that the whole is dependent upon the parts, taking care of the parts is something that is very important. If we do good by the various parts that comprise that, that is what leads to a benefit for the whole and so forth. So here, have you come to a little bit of understanding about the due to the whole being dependent upon the parts, that establishing phenomena is empty? Has anyone? Maybe we can hope that a little bit of understanding has come. So here we can use this kind of understanding of the whole being dependent upon the parts in order to establish that it's empty of existing in the way that it appears to us as like this solid one thing without being dependent upon anything else. And on the other hand, this recognition that the whole is dependent upon the parts leads us to an understanding that we need to sort of nurture and sustain the various parts in order for the good of the whole, right? So for example, a person is the whole that is designated in dependence upon these various parts, these five aggregates, our body, and so forth. So if we want there to be good for the person, then we need to think about doing well by the various parts that comprise the person, right? So taking care of our body, taking care of our health is something that is important for the well-being of the whole, the person that is the whole in that depends upon those parts. So on the one hand, we can use this kind of understanding to establish emptiness, but also it establishes for us the importance of sort of taking care of the parts.
So 특도비게 제 먹고 왔었나 다 뇽뇽치 도관남도 양나 머주베 레와 첨부치 해줘로 왔다 대조 제 메르다.
So the other four aggregates, apart from our form, are mainly internal, sort of mental in the nature of consciousness, with the exception of volitional formations or karmic formations, we could say, although those are mainly mental as well. The remaining three of feeling, discrimination, and consciousness are all consciousness, are all mental. And so when we think about the well-being of the whole, the person that exists independent upon these parts, including these mental aggregates, taking care of the mental health or working with our mind, being aware of what is happening in our mind, is something that we need to establish the happiness of the person, right? It's particularly important, again, because these comprise the majority of what we refer to as the sort of body-mind complex. The aggregates are mainly mental. And so in order to achieve our mental happiness, we need to reduce our various sort of discursive thoughts, our conceptual elaborations, and particularly like those kinds of hopes that are unachievable or expectations that are unachievable and our worries and so forth in order to achieve the well-being of the person. So here, if our sort of inner and outer parts are well, like our external, our body and our mind are well, then we as a person are going to be well, the person being the whole that is dependent upon those various parts. And so too, we can extend this out and think about like a family. A family is a whole or one that possesses parts that is comprised of the various members of that family. And if one member of the family or part of the family is experiencing some kind of difficulty, that is going to affect the whole. And so too, when we think about this on a larger scale, when we look at societies or even this whole world, if one part of the world is experiencing some kind of trouble and difficulty, that is in turn going to affect the whole. And so when we see it is the case that the whole, again, is dependent upon the parts, we have this sense that taking care of or the well-being of the parts leads to the well-being of the whole. If the various sort of parts, like as in the world, are being beneficial and are in a good kind of harmony with one another, then that will lead to a good result. Whereas if one part is experiencing some kind of trouble and difficulty, that will lead to trouble and difficulty for the whole.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. Do you know? Do you know? Do you know?
So, thank you. And well, we don't need to translate that. But are there any questions of anybody? I would imagine that there would be some kind of questions. Maybe everybody got it. Yes.
Ta gumbo lodrup ki di chi sung yore da di si che thagra da nyang kyor tu ki mare ine ti da thongba la tawa zina di konso che yo mare ro
thongba la tawa zina
din doesn't
thongba la tawa zina sna
it just that thongmani korang
So here, I think I've tried to get the right verse, and I think we've gotten that across. And I'm translating it more as like those who hold emptiness as truly existent are sort of incurable. Because the idea is that emptiness itself is also empty. It is something that is dependent or contingent. So if you hold emptiness as like this truly existent reality that exists in and of the itself, then that's kind of incurable. You're getting it wrong, because when we say, like for example, that form is empty, as we see in the Heart Sutra, there's a contingency between the basis that is empty and its emptiness, right? You can't posit emptiness without another that it is like something that is empty, right? So there's this kind of dependency. Even emptiness itself is something that is contingent or dependent. It's not some sort of like external reality or reality that exists independent, but rather there is a basis of designation that is empty. Like form is empty. Emptiness is form is the part that comes from the Heart Sutra. And so holding that idea of emptiness itself to be sort of truly existent, as in not being dependent upon anything else, is a misunderstanding, in that there's always something that is empty. It's in relation to something. So does that help to get at what you were asking?
Okay. 아니 내가 가시게 뒤 통미가 타왔던 거래로와 다 동반이 고라양 동반이 동반이 고라양 동반이 동반이 고라 동반이 독스 드로임 배 통미래샤 따티 컨디션 거래 때 하나면 내버려 줘고 쓰레 더도 쉬고 그래 때 맨나 고향 동반이 있었나 아니 풍미도 되게 두슬라 그래 인바 있나다 콘 송당 근데 송었나 수 동반이 지어와 수 동반이기 수 동반이 그런 동시에 동시 취재시에 양교 동반이 찍려고 와 동반이 동 수 동반이 그런 동시 취재를 시안에 코 동반이 찍려고 와 코 동반 말고 동반이 찍려고 곧 내버려 마주베 동반이 양 동반이 뒤 곧 내버려 마주 동반이 뒤 양교 동반이 동반 파조 말해서 곧 동반이 뒤 초수 동반이 초샤 그래서
알레
대신에 동이 태그 말해 라오르다 그래서 망부지 강한 뒤 오르다 뒤 파조나 뒤 파조나 동미 태그도 산노 어디 강한 돼요.
So there's also a kind of a way of holding emptiness as a view where it becomes sort of like endless, right? Like if you're to posit the emptiness of something, like that form is empty, as in it's not truly existent, well, that non-true existence is also empty, and you sort of end up going endlessly, right? But the idea here is that there's actually, you need to turn that sort of back, that form is empty, emptiness is form. Those are mutually sort of contingent and dependent. And so when you start to sort of spiral into this endless kind of philosophizing that, well, empty, that too is empty, is empty, is empty, is empty, in a sort of unending kind of a way, that's holding it, again, as a view in the in a wrong sort of sense, in that it's empty in relation to something, right? So you don't need to keep sort of going farther with the I mean, emptiness itself is empty, but it's always in relation to a basis of designation, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Daniel. Very good question.
Is interdependence a different word than emptiness?
Yeah, okay. Tendeldang tongni tanye mandare ro. Sik chik rebes. Eta chibarwa.
Re ta kuni tende se sona dere ta kashela chumte de kashela tongni dang tinchung hanam chikba ta song ga tende yore. Yore himbina tanta kho ko ya de timare. Tente dang tongni pete. Chikunzup temba, chik tundam temba, kuni peti logare. In a mochigre, and a mochigre, segureta. Mochigre.
So, here, they are, and as far as I understand in the Sanskrit as well, in Tibetan, they are two different terms or different words, right? And sometimes we hear this kind of idea that the Buddha taught emptiness as dependent origination and interdependence as emptiness, as if it's like the same thing. But that's kind of a misunderstanding in the sense that dependent origination is really the conventional reality, and emptiness is ultimate reality. So we would say that there's sort of two. They're totally distinct in that way, but also of the same nature. Like it's almost like two sides of a single coin, right? So there's they're definitely in terms of the words, as we have in English, the words are different words, and that is the same in Tibetan and in Sanskrit as well. But they're of the same sort of nature. It's kind of depending how you're looking at those two levels of reality of one phenomena.
Otigi, Samsam Chumdete, Tachi, Jagar Pendumang, Bushiki, Tinchung Kurana, Samsam, Tongbani, Ming Tayate, Pegigi, Tikasavore, Tinchung Chamosurua, O Dilaming the Town, Worry, Tinchung Chamos, Tinchung Thompson, Tinti Chamosurua, O Dilaming the Town, Worry, Tu, Ko, Tarangsinji, Madubana Yang, Mepa Mayimba, Tatok, Taksam, Chiki, Tinchikana, Shatuga, Tinchikla, and Tinchung, Tinchung Sia Town, Worry.
So here sometimes there is a kind of in the scholarly tradition applying this term of dependent origination to this very kind of subtle level of dependent origination, which actually comes after the understanding of emptiness. So sometimes it seems as though like we can talk about different levels of subtlety to dependent origination, and the most subtle level being merely designated by name and thought, and that really gets at the meaning of emptiness, but as they use the term dependent origination, but it can also refer to those more coarse levels like being dependent upon causes and parts in the whole and so forth. Thank you for asking really sort of important questions or that get at very essential points here. So. Is there one more question, or if not, we'll stop it there. Yeah, Charlie. Changju gisem kares.
Very important.
Another very important question.
Changju gisem sena kaptuk la lela chesona xian la pensim chaya dire. Kaptuk la lela sena xian la pensim chaya gisem deo. Shenla Pembe Semde, and Changju Sims and Lel Hashok did it. And Dine and Nether Tordon, I am Manguyora.
So if we sort of give the kind of in an easy to understand way, the most kind of direct would be to say the wish to benefit others, like an attitude of altruism, if we're to put it in kind of simple terms. We can go sort of higher and higher levels of understanding.
Changju sim se ti ndi ko tsu nen ti ne ya ya ta mi yu ta ko ba ta te zo ya sa ma teng ge teng ge se ni tun pa ni te se ge jo ro wa rang de tun ni tun pa ta xian de tun ni tun pa ni chuo zu cha ne ni chuo zu xian ne ni sang jie ko ma tun tun ni le lo ti la ni changju sim se ngue ne ming ta sa wo tin sta wo ta.
So, I mean, again, our first sort of step when it comes to bodhicitta is a mind wishing to benefit others. We can, again, speaking about the sort of levels of the term as well as our own kind of levels of practice, we can get up to the more sort of technical definition that would say it's this mind that is endowed with the two sort of strivings. I mean, we're striving for our own ultimate aims as well as the aims or benefit of others. And in order to be able to accomplish that wish to attain the state of Buddhahood. So that kind of attitude, I mean, when we want to become a Buddha in order to be able to completely fulfill the aims of others, that's what we would sort of call as the definitional or authentic bodhicitta. Although we could say in terms of like our beginning, it's really that attitude of altruism.
Okay, thank you. That's a good
If there's no heat in here, we might all start to get cold. So we will leave it there for tonight, and thank you all.
Okay, thank you. Joy,